Rafid Ahmad Alwan al-Janabi was an indirect informant for the United States, who, without meeting a single U.S. politician, general, or official, managed to provide the right information to the United States government that Rafid knew was false, that constructed an altar made of three little letters upon which the United States, Iraq, and their allies would serve up 18 years, well over 100,000 lives, and more than $2 trillion. An asterisk to the cost of the Iraq War is so far. Although combat operations have finally been declared over as of 2021, U.S. troops have been in Iraq since 2003 and are still present in Iraq, as well as tens of thousands of private contractors. Because? Those three little letters. WMD. Where did Colin Powell get the intelligence that told him that any day now, the real threat of Iraqi weapons of mass destruction under the control of Saddam Hussein would rear its head and destroy everything in its path, contrary to evidence and public opinion? Many Americans at the outset, and then the majority of Americans in the years since the U.S. invasion of Iraq, opposed going to Iraq at all. The justification and evidence the U.S. used to invade Iraq largely came from Rafid and his self-declared thirst for a democratic Iraqi republic. Rafid was known as Curveball while he was an intelligence asset. An educated chemical engineer, Rafid received asylum from the German government on March 13, 2000, and weeks after being granted asylum, was interviewed by the German Secret Service, the BND. A German official known to Rafid as Dr. Paul told Rafid during one of these interviews that, quote, "He needed some information about my life. It was very important that Iraq had a dictator and I needed to help," end quote. Rafid said that from this meeting forward, he began telling stories about chemical weapons based on what he knew about dangerous chemical compounds and their processing methods from his educational background, telling Dr. Paul about biological warfare processing facilities and mobile bioweapons trucks that could drive around and release chemical weapons into the air. He told them many, many stories about Saddam Hussein and his bioweapons program. Few of those stories were complete, and almost none were true. Quote, "I had the chance to fabricate something to topple the regime. My sons and I are proud of that. And we are proud that we were given the reason to give Iraq the margin of democracy," end quote. Rafid says the BND were very eager to learn everything they could about Hussein's weapons programs and asked about, quote, "pumps for filtration, how to make detergent after the reaction. Any engineer who studied in this field can explain or answer any question they asked," end quote. According to Rafid, quote, "I had a problem with the Saddam regime. I wanted to get rid of him, and now I had this chance," end quote. A few months later, British intelligence officials were investigating a claim made by al-Janabi that the son of his former boss, Latif, was locating and gathering weapons for Saddam. When intelligence services determined the story was false, German officials went back to Rafid and asked about the conflicting story. Rafid agreed that if Latif said there were no bioweapons trucks, then there weren't any. BND contact with Rafid dropped off sharply after that. Then, 2 years later, in 2002, German officials told him, quote, "You work with us, or your wife and child go to Morocco," end quote. So Rafid worked with them. By reading between the lines, he thought that they were trying to find reasons to go to war against Iraq. So, Rafid kept talking to the BND about bioweapons in Iraq. More specific questions were asked of Rafid in over a dozen meetings in 2002. According to Rafid, quote, "He asked me, for example, the name of signs, the name of establishment, do you know this person?" end quote. Rafid answered with story after story that were apparently taken to be true, and shared with other intelligence agencies, despite his already shaky record as an informant. Then, in February of 2003, Rafid watched Colin Powell on television convince the UN Security Council that Iraqi WMDs were an imminent danger to the rest of the world. And, after recognizing diagrams based on descriptions of the bioweapons trucks he had fabricated, realized that his stories had made their global debut. His stories were very effective. During his UN Security Council address, Powell assured the gathered parties that, quote, "We have first-hand descriptions of biological weapons factories on wheels. The source was an eyewitness, an Iraqi chemical engineer who supervised one of these facilities. He was present during biological agent production runs. He was also at the site when an accident occurred in 1998. 12 technicians died." End quote. That chemical engineer eyewitness was Rafid al-Janabi. The mobile bioweapons trucks, the bioweapons production runs, and the accident that occurred in 1998 with 12 technicians were stories he made up. Colin Powell says of his report to the UN that, quote, "Every word in there was approved by the CIA, was written by the CIA," end quote. And those words were wrong. After Colin Powell made that speech, Rafid called up his handler, who apparently told him, quote, "You must go now from this home, because this flat is very dangerous for you and for your family," end quote. For the next 2 months, Rafid stayed in a hotel and was not allowed to watch TV or interact with people outside his hotel, but realized the war against Iraq had started from listening to conversations by those around him. Rafid maintains that he catalyzed the U.S. invasion of Iraq. Quote, "You have to believe what Saddam says and do what Saddam wants, and I don't accept that. I have to do something for my country. So I did this, and I am satisfied, because there is no dictator in Iraq anymore." End quote. The U.S. invaded Iraq, discovered to their own satisfaction that there were no weapons of mass destruction, deposed and captured the dictator, and then stayed there, spending thousands of lives and trillions of dollars to kickstart a democratic republic that is today filled with corruption, electoral postponements and delays, and no oversight. Religion and ethnicity dictate leadership potential, and the Iraqi press has little power and no freedom to report on important civil and federal matters. For a brief moment, though, the story that Iraqi WMDs were an imminent threat was sold to the American and international public, to the intelligence communities, and to the president at the time, without Rafid speaking to a single American official. Colin Powell's testimony urged the U.S. government to actions, with statements like, quote, "The United States will not and cannot run that risk to the American people, leaving Saddam Hussein in possession of weapons of mass destruction for a few more months or years is not an option, not in a post-September 11th world," end quote. And that brief moment is all that is necessary to make the kind of mistake that happens all the time. That concern, that fear, and fear-mongering, as well as the actual two-decade U.S. invasion of Iraq, was centered for a tragically pivotal moment on the purposely false testimony of a single source. Curveball. Rafid. And the WMDs that weren't there.